time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I am your host, JJ Wenner.
I'm Don Detweiler.
I'm Rob Mongol.
I'm Kit Vidalich.
And this is the Rider Dynasty Podcast. Tonight, we continue our divisional breakdowns where we go through each division and every team, providing you with the information you need to know heading into your drafts. Next up is the NFC North. But before we get into tonight's show, do me a favor. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Rider Dynasty, and check out our website, RiderDynasty.com, for all of our latest articles. And now, the news. Don, Lamar Jackson has tested positive for COVID-20. No, just kidding. It is just COVID-19 again. Is this scientifically possible?
So yeah, it's absolutely a thing. You can get it more than once. You will develop some antibodies if you happen to have it the first time. However, those antibodies are unclear as far as how long they stay in your system, and you can get it a second time, as demonstrated here. It was shown that that was not a false positive. He absolutely has it again. And the consequences here, best case, are he has to self-quarantine for a minimum of 10 days. So no team activities or anything, in a box for 10 days. And that's 10 days from his positive test. So if he's not cleared up in 10 days, he's still in the can until he's completely clean.
Now, asking for a friend named Lamar Jackson, can you get COVID 3 times?
Yeah.
All right, something to aim for.
Maybe.
Kit, Curtis Samuel is out with COVID and a groin injury. Reports are that Adam Humphries has been clicking with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Do you think Humphries becomes a thing?
I think it's entirely possible. Unfortunately, this is sort of more of the same for Curtis Samuel. He's never had the opportunity to work with, I think, a good quarterback. I mean, Cam's been a good quarterback, but it was not good when he was there with him. And he's been dinged up in the past. I was very hopeful for Samuel. But yeah, if he's going to be missing, you know, a good chunk of camp, Adam Humphries proved in the past to be, you know, a reliable possession receiver from the slot. You know, from a fantasy perspective, I don't know, but he's not really old. He's 28. You know, he had a wide receiver 24 season in PPR before. So yeah, if the Curtis Samuel either COVID or groin thing is something that lingers, I could see him carving out a role.
Rob, Dak Prescott had an MRI on his shoulder and will not be throwing for a minute or two. Does this affect your tiers at all?
It does not. I saw the original report said it was just precautionary. He felt a little soreness warming up. They pulled him just to be safe. And then from there, you hope it's not serious. He's had a lot of time off. I hope he's kept his shoulder healthy. He said plenty of time to do prehab. I'm not that worried.
Well, if you're not worried, sir, I am definitely not worried. Well, gentlemen, training camps are in session and the news is flowing. Most importantly, we are getting ready for the fantasy season. We are going to jump into the NFC North with the reigning champion. Rob, what is going on with the Packers?
Man, how much time do we have to unwrap this? I would love just to play Aaron Rodgers' entire press conference and commentate over it. I don't think we have that kind of time this afternoon. But good God, if you have a future Hall of Famer on your team and he wants to help pick players that he's going to throw the ball to you, for the love of God, let him. Let him. That's front office management 101. There are always exceptions to the rule. And when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, they are the freaking exception, Green Bay. Get your act together. They were 13-3 last year. Vegas has had their win total this year between 9.5 and 10.5 games. Maybe it ticks up a little bit now that Rodgers is back. I saw that all of those lines were as of July 25th. I believe that's before he officially reported. There's not a lot of coaching changes, unfortunately, for Rodgers. There's not a lot of front office changes either. I think the biggest question marks coming into the season are the offensive line health. You got David Bakhtiari with coming off of the ACL injury. I'm not that worried about it. He will be ready to go probably a third of the way through the season, I imagine, back to full health. And the Packers did just sign Dennis Kelly, the former right tackle for the Tennessee Titans. He's had a very interesting career getting to where he is now. And, you know, he played under Matt LaFleur. I don't know much about him. I don't watch a lot of Tennessee Titan games. But an interesting stat I did see is he did not allow a sack from right tackle in over 1,000 snaps last year.
That's a good stat to have as an offensive lineman. Looking at their skill position, who do you think are the two most important fantasy players on this team?
I think it has to start with Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams was wide receiver one last year. He had a monstrous, almost 34% target share. He had 29 red zone targets and 14 red zone touchdowns on those targets, with 18 total touchdowns. No wide receiver will have more red zone targets in the NFL this year than Devontae Adams. He will be the wide receiver one if he is healthy for all 17 games, and that's it.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to be healthy for all 17. I think he showed that last year. If he's probably healthy for 14, he'll be the wide receiver one. Who is your second most important player?
I could go the easier route, pick Aaron Jones. I could pick Aaron Rodgers. But to dig a little bit deeper, I want to point out the importance of the secondary running back for the Green Bay offense. I'm just going to go A.J. Dillon here. I understand that both of the Aarons are more important than him, but A.J. Dillon's my redraft 34. I think he's a weekly flex play this year with touchdown upside, assuming Aaron Rodgers doesn't just hijack complete control of the red zone offense and only throw the ball. And if Rodgers leaves next year, they could blow the team up easily. Aaron Jones is a pretty soft cap hit coming up. Devontae Adams could leave. They could easily focus on running the ball, ground and pound with Jordan Love at quarterback. I think he's a flex play this year, borderline running back two, running back three, somewhere in between there, probably high end running back three. And he could easily vault up there in 2022 and beyond.
I'm not sure I agree with that take, but I grant you. I want to talk about this a little bit. But A.J. Dillon isn't really worth much this year, is he?
Yeah, I still think he finishes as a running back three with amazing week-to-week touchdown upside. He is a bruiser at the goal line. You know, he proved it in his one game last year. You want to call it prove it or not? I thought they reached for him where they took him in the second round. But he is something that the offense is lacking. I think he will be a red zone weapon, a short yardage weapon, and he will get his touches.
So Jamal Williams is gone. He's new Jamal Williams, but he's probably better at the role.
The new Eddie Lacy, if you will.
He is not better than Jamal Williams.
He's better than Jamal
Williams. Jamal Williams is a much better back than A.J. Dillon.
Jamal Williams.
And they don't play a similar role.
Exactly. They don't play a similar role. I think he grows into more rushes. He's not going to be taking a lot of targets. I think Aaron Jones's targets take a slight uptick this year. His rushes take a reasonable downtick, and A.J. Dillon eats into a lot of them.
All right. Which two players are you not buying the hype on?
I mean, it's rough outside of the starters. I don't think there is a team in the NFL where you can just go down the line and say, I like all of the starters. You like Devontae Adams. You like Aaron Rodgers. You like Aaron Jones. You like Robert Tonyan. And then after that, who freaking knows? To pick on someone at the wide receiver position's rough. I don't think Randall Cobb's going to do anything coming back. It feels like I'm picking on him. Does anyone think Randall Cobb's going to do anything coming back?
Not over Amari Rodgers.
I mean, it's if you have to pick on Randall Cobb before you pick on Mercedes Lewis or Jay Sternberger, unfortunately. I mean, there's a lot of nobodies for fantasy relevance on this depth chart.
It would be the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever to make them trade for Cobb and then not throw to him.
I think they'll throw to him. And I think, you know, it's going to be between him and Amari Rodgers for the slot receiver this year, but neither of them are going to be that fantasy relevant.
All right. So then who, do you have any players that you're stashing for future use?
Man, just skipping over my Devin Funchess hate. I was going to also say that guy's trash, but I think everyone also knows that.
Well, there's no hype for Devin Funchess.
That's true. Man, I think you can really, depending on where you are in your league, you can call your shot on any of these guys behind Devontae Adams. If you're in a pure rebuild mode, I mean, go after Amari Rodgers. If you're trying to win now, I like Alan Lazard. If you're in a best ball league, I like Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's just a weird offense. The guys behind Devontae Adams, they all have unique skill sets, and I don't think any of them translate on a consistent basis. But if I had to stash someone, my first stash would be Amari Rodgers. I think he's got the most upside for the future. And if Devontae Adams walks in the offseason next year, which I fully think he does, along with Aaron Rodgers, a quick aside, I think Devontae Adams ends up in Las Vegas, reunited with his college quarterback next year. I think he plays with Derek Carr. I mean, Amari Rodgers can take a big role going into season two.
All right, Rob, Kit, anybody that he overlooked that we should talk about?
I feel like he touched on basically everything. I still have a little bit of hope for Alan Lazard. I was just looking at his game log, trying to build an argument for it. It's not really there. I think he had good games, the two of his first three games before he got hurt. Then when he came back down the stretch, really didn't produce. I happen to like his physical skill set, and I think he matches up well with Rodgers, but I'm not particularly hopeful.
Aaron Rodgers likes him, and that is the biggest plus. That is the biggest plus.
Don?
You can look at Kylan Hill as a very deep stash, especially if they try to get out of the Aaron Jones contract next year or so. He would be the most likely to be the next in line.
I really liked Kylan Hill coming out of college. I thought he would go, you know, a solid two rounds earlier than he did. I think he's definitely got some upside, and he could definitely take on the Jamal Williams role if they really did not want to use A.J. Dillon this year. And I think Jordan Love's worth a flyer this year, too. Now that Rodgers is back, maybe you can get him a little cheaper.
The only person I did want to stand up for with some Rob slander coming at him, Mercedes Lewis. Not a fantasy option at all. But if there is a guy who Robert Tonyan clearly stated was the reason for his success, it was Mercedes Lewis. You talk about, he is old. I don't even know how old he is. He's probably almost as old as Brady. Still in top shape and an incredible blocking tight end who has made an impact in this league well beyond his years and doesn't get a lot of praise at all. All right, let's move to the city by the lake, Chicago. Donnie, tell me about the Bears.
Oh, the Bears. Here we go, the Bears. They got problems with the Bears. It's an interesting team because it doesn't feel like it has one true direction. We got Matt Nagy trying to save his butt here as probably the going out head coach. And we have just a massive question at quarterback. They go and they sign Andy Dalton to be the guy, and then they go and draft Justin Fields, which was a great idea to be the guy of the future, but when does the future arrive? And I think that's entirely dependent on their schedule. The crazy thing is, though, the early part of their schedule is really easy. So if the team is starting with Dalton and comes out to like a 5-0 start, not likely, but possible, how do you justify a quarterback change? Just being like, yeah, things are great, but we're going to do something different now just because. So you wind up with this position where you've got a young kid coming in, and the early reports out of camp are that Fields looks like a rookie. He's fine. He's on track. Looks great. And Dalton looks like an 11-year vet, and he's running the offense. So we'll see. Likely that Nagy is trying to save his butt means that Fields is later to play. My two guys who are the most important fantasy players on this team, we got Monty, the running back, who finished as the RB3 last year. Very talented. Now has a pretty darn good offensive line to run behind compared to what he's had in the past, and has the ability to both get yards through the air, catches in volume, and goal line touches. So, high value player there. And then, the ageless wonder, Allen Robinson, the man, the myth, the ever underappreciated alumnus of Penn State. As those two players go, is how the offense is going to go. The depth is better, but it's their show.
Now, are there two players that you are not buying the hype on?
So, for this year, I want nothing to do with the two quarterbacks, either Fields or Dalton, simply because you never know when that transition is going to come. Andy Dalton isn't that good anyway, but if they start winning and with a very good defense, a relatively easy early schedule, they could. It becomes very difficult for a coach in turmoil to turn the reins over to the kid. Dynasty-wise, man, I want Fields. He's awesome. But I feel like he's the kind of dude who can just get hosed by situation.
I can definitely see that happening. Now, who are guys you're going to a deep stash? Somebody you're throwing at the end of your bench.
A player I would really like to get in this and I think is going to make a real name for themselves is Daz Newsome. Guy is phenomenal.
North Carolina.
I'm telling you. You know, for the longest time, the Tar Heels and football just didn't go together. But in the recent past, that has definitely flipped. And they're putting out quality players who are NFL ready. And I think the wide receiver three job is his right there. Darnell Mooney is going to, he broke out last year and will continue. And I think Daz Newsome now takes advantage of all that empty space with the defenses slanting so heavily on Robinson and now Mooney taking the top off.
Yeah, and especially being that they just traded Anthony Miller away.
Yep.
Is there anybody else who you have as a deep stash?
He's not a deep stash, but he's somebody I think you need to pay a little more attention than normal to try and get, is Cole Kmet. The tight end showed as a rookie, and tight ends don't show as rookies. So for that to happen, it's significant, and it's something you want to get in front of if you can, because down the road, it's likely that if that trend continues, you won't be able to get near him.
Kit, Rob, are there any other players here that you guys are keeping an eye on?
Yeah, not a long-term stash, but I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Damian Williams. I think if David Montgomery did go down, Tariq Cohen's not the type of guy who steps into the full-time role. I know they have Khalil Herbert, who some people liked, but I think they would probably, you know, look to the veteran. Said Nagy's trying to coach for his job, or futile that might be. So yeah, I just think he's one of those handcuffs that could really have some value and really isn't perceived that way.
Rob?
This is a razor-thin depth chart. I think we've touched on just about everyone who's fantasy relevant. Although, you know, I am really buying the hype on Justin Fields. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of Justin Fields and the Andy Dalton quarterback battle is the meme that's from Malcolm in the Middle, where Dewey says, "The future is now, old man," because the future is now. They open the year, the Rams, they're going to let Andy Dalton just get destroyed there. Then they get the Bengals. Then they get another good defense in the Browns. And then they have a really nice stretch with Detroit, Vegas, Green Bay. And I think Justin Fields is a starter by week four.
All right. Looking at it, I know Jake Butt just retired today. I think in the wide receiver room, besides Daz Newsome, maybe keep an eye on Damir Bird coming over from New England. He does have some skill, and he might fit into that third wide receiver role while Daz is developing. And then you mentioned him, Rob. Khalil Herbert might not do anything this year as Damian Williams sort of fills that secondary role if Tariq's not healthy. But I think Khalil might be somebody in the future to really keep an eye on. Now, moving over to Minnesota, they had a disappointing finish in 2019, coming in at 7-9 and third in the division. As far as coaching changes, with the retirement of Gary Kubiak, the Vikings did the most NFL thing and promoted his kid, Clint, to lead the offense. Nepotism rules the NFL, and unfortunately, I don't see that changing unless the NFL changes some rules, which I think they need to do because I'm getting tired of seeing the same names over and over again. Keenan McCardell came in as the new wide receivers coach, which is fantastic for Justin Jefferson. McCardell, he's not a really super well-known player now, but he was a great wide receiver over his 16-year career and is going to impart all of that wisdom into the young Justin Jefferson. Also, another coaching change, after finishing 24th in passing yards allowed, they bring in a Nick Saban acolyte to lead the DBs. Carl Scott was the cornerbacks coach for Alabama last year. And there is no better person in the world to learn the DB position from than Nick Saban. So I'm excited. I think Carl Scott might actually improve that on the back end. Now, as far as philosophy, any changes that way, there is going to be a definite changing of the guard. We saw it last year from Thielen-centered passing attack to a Justin Jefferson-centered passing attack. I still believe in Thielen, but there is a major shift. Also, Danielle Hunter is back, which is going to help that defense by providing a solid pass rush. Danielle is one of the best in the league, and part of that 24th passing ranking was the fact that they didn't generate the pass rush that they did in years past.
So JJ, there's a lot of change going on and the defense should be better, but who are the two most important fantasy players here?
Listen, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. The two players you must start, of course, are Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, right? Both are ranked in the top tier at their position and outside of injuries are going to finish there again. Now, some people are a glass half empty kind of person. I'm a glasses broke kind of pessimist. Like, I am the pessimist's pessimist. And looking at JJ, and maybe it is the fact that he shares a name with me, I think his breakout rookie year can get even better with the full offseason and just getting more reps with Kirk Cousins. I don't see him taking a step back this year. I don't know if necessarily last year's going to be his floor, but it's definitely not his ceiling. So I am all in on Justin Jefferson. Now, Dalvin Cook finished last year as the RB2, and he's going to have every opportunity to finish as a top five RB, even with the return of Saquon and CMC. I recently traded Jonathan Taylor for Dalvin Cook. It was actually Dalvin Cook, Kenny G, and Terrace Marshall for Jonathan Taylor, LaVisca, and Paris Campbell. Love that trade. Very happy. So I'm a believer in Dalvin Cook.
I don't know how you couldn't be. The guy's just been awesome every year. And Jefferson, the sky is the limit as far as I'm concerned. So the hype train can't go high enough for him. But speaking of the hype train, who are you out on? Who are two guys that you want no part of?
I don't think I can give you two on this team because I don't think there's a lot of hype outside of the major guys and because I'm not down on Thielen. But my guy who I am not buying hype on is Irv Smith. I don't buy the breakout. He's currently being drafted as the number 12 tight end, and he finished last year as the tight end 22. He scored 7.6 points per game last year, and people think he's going to suddenly change into a tight end one. I mean, is his opportunity any better with Kyle Rudolph leaving? I mean, if Kyle Rudolph was the impediment to your success, maybe you're just not as good as advertised. You know, Alabama tight ends aren't quite what they're knocked up to be.
Kyle Rudolph only had one tight end one game all of last season.
Well, people are saying, well, if you take all of his targets and add them to Irv Smith's, you get 85. Calm down. Calm down.
Yeah, at that point in his career, if he couldn't beat out Rudolph, I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen for you. But let's move to the future here. As we know, hope springs eternal in my world. So let's hear it. Who are two guys that we think might grow into their role and that you want to have on the back end of your bench?
Well, I'm going to give you a young guy and an old guy. I'm going to start with the young guy. Kenny Nwangwu, a surprise pick in the NFL draft in the fourth round. He was drafted ahead of Chuba Hubbard, Kenny Gainwell, Ramondre Stevenson, guys who received a lot more hype than him in the preseason and pre-draft process. So they obviously saw something there. And what that is explosiveness. He posted a 4.29 at 6'1", 210. I know I'm a fan of Kent Lee Platt at MathBomb on Twitter, his relative athletic score. Nwangwu scored a 9.89 out of 10. It was the highest score last year given to any offensive skill position player. My old guy, I was actually very excited to see D.D. Westbrook signing. Recent addition, he should come in and compete immediately for that third wide receiver role. People kind of forget that he had two straight years of 100 targets and 66 receptions before tearing his ACL last year. He has great hands, and he's a true veteran. He has that savvy, something that BC Johnson never quite developed into. I think Didi can step in and provide them with a solid floor. I don't know if he's going to finish as a wide receiver 3, but I could see him with a wide receiver 4 finish, and you could do better than you couldn't do much better than Didi Westbrook as your fourth wide receiver.
I'm with you on Didi. I liked him when he was with Jacksonville. And
well, no, hold on a second. Let me take that back.
Yeah,
up.
I know.
You can do a lot better than Didi Westbrook as your fourth wide receiver, right? Like, guys falling.
Of this assemblage? I'm just saying. Of this assemblage? No, that's it.
If you have to take a shot on somebody here.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was speaking a little bit of... I was being hyperbolic. I apologize.
Oh, look at you with the wordsmithing.
I am an English teacher, buddy.
That's what we do, right?
It's what we do. Gentlemen, Kit, Rob, Don, anybody I missed here?
I'll take a swing at Amir Smith-Marset. I mean, I really don't think they have an established third receiver, much as I do think Thielen has a little bit more left in the tank than other people do. It's not going to be around for that long. So again, another one of those not for this year, but he's got physical traits that I liked. And so, hey, maybe year two of earning some NFL polish, he can turn into something worth playing once in a while.
And in that same vein, we'll go with Kellen Mond, because he was an interesting guy coming out in A&M. If the floor, if what you ask of him is to be Kirk Cousins, I think he can do that.
You're not wrong. And he is getting some positive hype out of camp. Rob.
I love both of those players. And I think there's just a lot of deep sleepers on the Vikings. I'll take Zach Davidson, 5th round draft pick, punter / tight end. Yet to know which one he's better at. The guy is legitimately an NFL quality punter, but he's also 6'7", 250 pounds. And he's barely played the tight end position at college, and he absolutely excelled his last season at what was it, God knows, Central Missouri, I believe. I think he's a great development prospect. Maybe he slips in sooner than we think, ahead of some of the other guys on the tight end depth chart, because I don't think any of them are good. I'm not a Tyler Conklin believer, and I'm definitely not an Irv Smith believer. And he adds some much-needed size at 6'7". He's going to be a red zone threat immediately, even as tight end 3.
Yeah, and just sticking with that whole nepotism vein, they also have Chad Beebe there, and they just signed as a UDFA Blake Prohl, Ricky's son. I know the Devi Dirtbag was giving him a little bit of love, but Blake Prohl is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. Now, something that nobody has ever said, let's go to Detroit. Kit, what is going on with our Lions?
So I was excited to pick the Lions because the answer is everything is going on. It might not all be good, but there's a lot of stuff going on. So new head coach in Dan Campbell, new offensive coordinator Anthony Lynn, new defensive coordinator for the first time, former three-time Pro Bowler Aaron Glenn, new starting quarterback. Say it's a downgrade, right? They swapped Goff for Stafford, and they lost both Galladay and Marvin Jones. They have 313 vacated targets. Last year, their scoring defense was 32nd. Their defensive yards against was 32nd. Their scoring defense was 32nd by almost 2 full points above worse than 31st. Offensively, they were hovering around 20th. And their offensive line ranked actually a pretty respectable 13th.
That's kind of ugly. That is ugly. Which two players do you think are going to be the most relevant fantasy-wise?
Yeah, so let's start with DeAndre Swift. So the lack of receiving options means I think he will be deployed in interesting ways. Lynn has a really good history of using multiple backs, using backs in sort of non-traditional ways. I mean, he's getting Eckler all of those catches, the 88-catch season, as well as last year when his per-game pace was ridiculous. I think Swift has a similar skill set in that he is a true elite receiver out of the backfield and even route runner when I've seen him do that a couple times. In 13 games last year, he had 46 catches. So I expect him to be important and interesting on the back of having lots of catches. I'm thinking 60 plus this year. Their offensive line is surprisingly good. I just mentioned in the rundown that they were 13th last year. They spent their seventh pick on Penny Sewell, who was maybe raw but supposed to be sort of an elite left tackle project. And so I think that there could be some lanes opening up there. Maybe Dan Campbell won't be foolish, right? But he seems like a type of guy who'll want to run the football even if they're losing, right? Even if their defense is giving up a lot of points. They know they're not going to win this year, but he seems like he wants to instill his culture and bite some kneecaps, right? So I could see him getting sort of more work than maybe even would be smart, and I think he's going to be a good fantasy option this year.
All right. I like that. I definitely like who he brought in with Anthony Lynn. I think Anthony Lynn is a fantastic assistant coach, especially as a running backs coach. He is phenomenal. And Aaron Glenn is an A-plus guy who's going to bring a lot of just a good atmosphere to that team. Who is your second most important player?
So it's TJ Hockenson, right? And it's really just vacated targets. 313, like I said, the most in the NFL. I think Hock is good, and he should act as their number one target. Now, I definitely have some concerns that defenses will be keying on him because as I'll briefly mention later, I don't think many other receiving options that they have are very good. But I just think that their defense is going to be horrible. They're going to have to throw on target volume alone. He's going to be, I think, maybe not the actual raw numbers that Darren Waller put up last year, but in terms of percentage of their passing attempts and percentage of the offense, I think he could rival what Darren Waller did. And then again, their offensive line is surprisingly good. I know I keep mentioning it, but there should be some time to throw, right? It shouldn't be something where they have to just be dumping it out all of a sudden. It's one sort of lone bright spot there.
Now, with all of the optimism, are there any players that you are not buying the hype on?
So I wouldn't say that any of them are getting hype, right? But I do not like their receiving core. And I would not spend for any of the receiving core. I mean, I guess there's a little bit of buzz about Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, Quintez Cephas. I think it was Okuda last year said he was the best player he faced, you know, in college, and that got him a little bit of buzz. But I don't want to touch any of them for fantasy football. Not to say that I don't think one or two of them will have an 800-yard season. But even the things that like Perriman and Tyrell Williams are known for being good at, which is being deep threats, really isn't Goff's specialty. And so I just, yeah, they're not getting a lot of hype, but I still just don't want to touch them.
Yeah, I can't argue with you about any of those, especially Perriman. People are thinking he's going to be the wide receiver one there. Yikes. Well, are there any players that you're throwing at the end of your bench and like hoping maybe for year two?
Yeah, I have a couple. So the first one is Jamal Williams. So, I mean, we had a little bit of an argument about him earlier, right? But he's definitely a solid NFL player. He grades really well as a pass protector and has shown pass catching chops, even if he hasn't done that much with him when he's gotten the ball. But I think they might, like I mentioned earlier, use Swift in a more non-traditional role, and he could still end up getting a lot of snaps. I mean, I keep alluding to what Eckler did, but there was that year with Melvin, or a couple years with Melvin Gordon, where Gordon was very viable doing, you know, one thing, and Eckler was on the field a lot doing his own thing. And so I think he has possible standalone flex value. But, you know, if Swift were to go down, I think that they don't. I mean, they have Jamar Jefferson behind there. That's, you know, not too much. I think he could start being a 20-touch guy and be in a solid RB2 territory.
Anybody else besides Jamal Williams?
Yeah, so this is kind of cheating, but I have Jared Goff. Right. So, I mean, this is really more of a redraft or super flex contender, right? If you need sort of that quarterback for this year, I think I saw he's going as QB27 in startup drafts, which just feels undervalued at this point for in terms of what he's going to produce this year. Despite what I said about his wide receivers, I think he's kind of in the perfect situation to have one of those all-time, you know, junk yardage seasons. They have a terrible, terrible defense that's not going to get better. They have that good offensive line I mentioned, so he should have time to sort of operate and not get panicked as he sometimes does. You know, I think the unknown receiving targets and McVay tossing him aside is really why his value is all the way down. I mean, I could argue that I could see yourself getting him for a second round pick in Superflex, and I could see him throwing for easily 4,500 yards this year and them having enough junk time that he gets over 25 TDs. I think he finishes around QB 15, maybe even as high as 12 for this season.
That is not something this pessimist would agree with, but that's why I don't do a podcast on my own. Gentlemen, Don, Rob, is there anybody else that you guys want to talk about in this Detroit locker room?
So I was interested in Say Sherratt when he came out with the draft this year. I kind of thought that he would do a little better draft-wise than he did. He's a pretty solid route runner. He doesn't have the high-end speed, but he's what you want in a wide receiver three and a possession guy. And I think there's catch volume there, and especially in this wide receiver crew, which is a veritable who's that of wide receivers. So why shouldn't he have an opportunity?
Absolutely, Rob.
I still believe Tyrell Williams can be an above-average NFL wide receiver. He did wonders his rookie year down in San Diego before they moved to Vegas. Before they moved to L.A., sorry, Vegas. Sorry, LA. I don't think there's a clear-cut number one wide receiver on the team. I don't believe in Rashad Perriman. I don't believe in Quintez Cephas. I don't believe in Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think by default, I have to say Tyrell Williams is the best wide receiver on the team. And I'm with Kit in the Jared Goff camp. I think an underlooked narrative this offseason is the new front office in Detroit is the same front office that drafted him previously. And, I mean, say what you will about Jared Goff, they're going to give him a long leash. They drafted him originally. They brought him to Detroit. They got a haul for him. They're going to see what he can do. I think he has 2 years as a starter, and I think this year he is going to be the garbage time king. And I absolutely see him finishing as a low-end quarterback one, maybe, you know, 14-15 range like Kit alluded to. But I think, you know, 12-15 easily done.
All right. Well, there is nobody I need to add to that. I think it's time for us to kind of turn this over to Don, who's going to give us some questions about these teams.
Don, the shenanigans that is the NFC North. It's so much fun. So, question numero uno here. If you had to hang your hat on one position group in the division improving, who is it? Now, pay attention. The Bears quarterbacks, can they be better than last year? The Lions running backs, will they be better than last year? The Packers secondary that was basically a colander, did the draft picks improve them? Or the Vikings pass rush? Of those four, Rob, who do you think has the best chance of improving?
I mean, that's a rough one. I'm tempted to go with DeAndre Swift in the Lions backfield, but I think the Vikings pass rush has to get better. They had so many injuries last year, and they're coming into the offseason healthy for once. They were an elite defense, and that team's identity is elite defense. It is not it's good defense and running the football. It is not opening the ball up and passing. They're going to get back to basics, and they're going to make lives miserable for opposing quarterbacks.
It's a great answer. I like it, and that's actually the one I had planned. JJ, do you have a different answer?
I do not. I said it while I was talking about them with Danielle Hunter coming back. That's instantly improving. I mean, you're adding a top two edge rusher, top five maybe, being like not nice to Danielle Hunter. That unit is instantly better.
As well as three other draft picks, it makes a world of difference injecting youth and then that already proven talent. Kit, do you have a different answer for that?
Yeah, I'd say the Bears quarterbacks, just because they were such a dumpster fire last year, and I do believe in Justin Fields. I mean, you can't do worse than whatever the mix and match they were doing. And yeah, if Justin Fields is just competent, even if Andy Dalton is competent, it'll be a serious improvement on what they had to deal with last year.
Yeah, Dalton's an easy step up from Nick Foles. Yep.
He's not confident.
And Fields is an easy step up for Trubisky. Yeah, that would have been my second option, Kit.
All right.
Man, Trubisky's the worst out of those three for you, JJ? I think he's the best.
No, I didn't say Trubisky's the worst. Okay. I just said Dalton. I clearly said Dalton's an upgrade over Foles, right? 1-1. And I said Fields is an upgrade over Trubisky.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Two players, two increases.
Misheard that.
Let's look at Detroit, and we'll shoot for the stars here. Over, under, 1,200 total yards from scrimmage for Swift. JJ, over, under, 1,200 yards from scrimmage.
Over.
Kit?
Over, competently.
Rob?
Man, I think it's a little bit closer than these slam dunk answers. I think if you project him to miss any games at all, it gets a little dicey, and he's a little bit smaller than I'd like as a running back. So, I mean, I'll just take the under to break up the narrative here.
Okay.
Yeah, and with what you're saying, Rob, like, I don't necessarily disagree with you on that. I just think that I have to assume some sort of health. I can't see him not getting 800 rushing yards in a Dan Campbell offense and 400 receiving.
I'm just going to assume every NFL running back misses two games, and their offense is so atrocious that maybe it doesn't happen.
Can't disagree.
All right. Next question. Who is the wide receiver two in the North? We already know Adams is Adams. In the whole division, who's the wide receiver two? Robinson, Jefferson, or I'll give you the blanket, other. Rob, who you got?
Whew, that is a tough one. As far as talent is concerned, I think it's Allen Robinson. But who do I want on my dynasty team or fantasy team? It's probably Justin Jefferson, just because I know who we have at quarterback. I think we'll get a little consistent quarterback play this year.
Kit?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Allen Robinson's done it for longer, but I think even his best season was what Justin Jefferson did as a rookie. So I like Justin Jefferson, and not just from a dynasty perspective. I think that, you know, given their quarterback situations, while I like Fields, he might not start the whole season. I think Cousins is an underrated guy who targets his top targets a lot. So I think he's going to get targeted, and he's going to do good stuff with them.
JJ.
Yeah, let's make it a clean sweep. I go with Justin Jefferson. I think his rookie year was phenomenal. I can only see him getting better, but even if he takes a step back, it has to be better than Allen Robinson with Dalton, unless they go to Fields. But I think they're going to stick with Dalton because Matt Nagy's an idiot.
He'll be fired. he'll be fired. They can't stick with him all year.
Your mouth to God's ears, buddy. Your mouth to God's ears. All right, well, thank you, Don. It is time for us to pick our NFC North first place finisher and who we think will finish last. Don, you're up.
Ah, JJ, the NFC North division winners. I got to stay on task and on point here. It's Green Bay. It was, and it will be, because that offense is just so much better than everybody else. As long as Rodgers is there and staying happy, they're going to win. Everybody else is just that far behind in the quarterback position. As far as my lasty McLasterson, it's got to be Detroit. They're in full free fall rebuild. They probably want to do everything they can to get the first overall pick, and I don't blame them. They're going to be last.
Kit!
All right, JJ, this is one of the easier ones you'll ask. The Green Bay Packers will win the division. I think Rodgers and Adams will pick to give them at least one more year, and that tandem is enough to power them ahead of the other fairly mediocre teams in the division. Last place, also pretty simple for me, the Detroit Lions. They don't want to win, and that's good because they don't have the talent to win. It's a pretty straightforward division.
Rob?
Who will finish first in the NFC North this season? It's got to be Green Bay. The gang's back together for at least one more year. Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere this season. Maybe he goes somewhere next offseason. But for now, this is the best team on paper, the best offense on paper. Minnesota certainly has a better defense than Green Bay. They've got the best wide receiver in the league in Devontae Adams. They've got a great quarterback, top five quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. They've got two good running backs in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, despite J.J.'s hate of A.J. Dillon for some reason. It's got to be Green Bay. I've got Minnesota slotted in two wins behind Green Bay, barring some catastrophic injuries to key skill position players. It's got to be Green Bay. And who finishes last? Minnesota and Green Bay both have Super Bowl aspirations. And Matt Nagy's playing for his job in Chicago. I think the Justin Fields project starts sooner rather than later there. But I think that honestly increases their win total compared to what they would do with Andy Dalton. They still have a great defense. The offense could use a few more pieces to really get rolling, and hopefully we see a step up in year two. But it's got to be the Lions. I mean, what other people are playing for their jobs and for the Super Bowl, the Lions are playing for the number one overall pick. This is a bad team from top to bottom, except for the offensive and defensive lines. They've got nothing. The Lions are probably one of the two worst teams in the NFL this year, if not the worst team. And they are a sure lock to finish as last place in the NFC North.
All right, thanks, Rob. I am going to go with the Minnesota Vikings to win the division. I get that Green Bay is returning Devontae and Aaron Rodgers, but I think Minnesota takes the next step with a healthy Thielen for the entire season. I think they are in the perfect position to win this division. Unfortunately, last place, I'm going to go with Detroit. Sorry, Chris Robbins. Sorry, Ryan Bickerstaff. I apologize for that, but until they can prove otherwise, they're the last place team in this division. It is now time for tags, where we let the riders know where they can find us. And any final thoughts? Don?
Guys, you know, if you need me, you can always reach out to us at Rider Dynasty, and the guys will get it back to me. Heck, they'll even read it on air and embarrass me. I won't even get a warning. It'll be fun. Go ahead. Also, if you have any questions or anything and you're looking for the real intel, definitely check with the beat riders. They're the ones who are there putting in the work all the time. Don't worry about the national talking heads. They don't often have as much time as the local guys.
Rob?
You can find me on Reddit and on Twitter at TheRotoRob. And just like Don said, I was checking the beat writers' reports right before we jumped on to record this, and lo and behold, Jalen Waddle has re-aggravated his ankle injury, and you've got to beat up Will Fuller. I think if you're a contender in Dynasty this year, Devontae Parker might be a sneaky buy. And if you're looking for some depth pieces, any of those guys who are sitting on waiver wires in Miami, man, there's a chance. There's a chance if either of these injuries linger that they're the wide receiver two, wide receiver three.
Some good intel. Kit.
You can find me on Twitter at KitV_DynastyFF and on Reddit at KitKit123. No advice, but it's football season. Inject it into my veins. Let's do it.
Amen. I'm at JJ Wenner on Twitter. Thank you to Don, Kit, and Rob for helping put this all together tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, COVID cases are spiking. Watch yourself. Take care of yourself. Do the right thing. So from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and remember, never say anything to make a meeting longer or cut a happy hour short. Boat drinks, my friends. Boat drinks. Next up is the AFC North. Now, before we get into tonight's show...
NFC North.
What did I say?
AFC.
Thank you. Next up is the AFC North.
You did it again. Did it again.
I thought you were just drinking water today.
It's just straight vodka.
Yeah, exactly.
Russian water. And-